You can sense the gradual shift into election season. Friday, three groups seeking positions on the November ballot in Arkansas turned in petitions with thousands of signatures to the Attorney General's office. If enough signatures are verified for each, voters could make decisions about casinos, term limits, and the state's minimum wage come fall. While those are still only possibilities, we do know that issue one, setting a cap on damages and attorneys' fees in lawsuits, will be on the ballot. To get an early season breakdown of some of these matters, we turn to John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Roby Brock with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. Roby says the supporters of the term limits proposal easily exceeded the number of signatures required on their petitions for the verification process.
They turned in a lot of signatures, way more than they need. We've had convictions of elected officials. It's going to be pretty easy pickings for the term limits people to say, don't you want to curtail these people's activity right here? How overwhelmingly do you think term limits would pass if it qualifies, which it looks likely to do?
Fairly overwhelmingly. I forget when we passed the initial term limits, it was up there in the two-thirds, over 60, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I would think so. Again, the surprise is that people in 2014, whether they knew they were doing it or not, extended term limits, essentially, because an ethics amendment was amended by the legislature, by John Woods, now infamous and convicted legislator, to say that it took the number of years you could serve if you got elected and fulfilled, got limited in the House and then got limited in the Senate, and said you could serve all of that any way you
cumulative.
Wanted.
Yeah.
I just don't think people fully grasped what was happening, and they probably would not have done that had it stood alone. So the national term limits people, this limits it to 10 years. And I think, so I think that passes in any political environment in Arkansas. But right now, the political environment in Arkansas, I believe, and this is the only thing that might give somebody like French Hill trouble against a credible opponent in Clark Tucker. Throw out the people who are in office, and because the succession of legislative corruption stories and convictions has soured people even to an unusual level. They're already soured to politics, but soured them even more. And that is a factor. Were you going to get ready to ask me about issue one?
I am
one?
About to do that.
Okay, you go ahead
and
ask.
But you steal my segue if you
want
to.
No.
So you've been tweeting and writing a lot about issue one. You say it's the most important item on the ballot this next year. It is the one that changes the rules for the judiciary, lets the legislature control this. It puts caps on certain damages. It's the tort reform proposal. How do you see term limits possibly being impacting that vote?
Well, this way. I wrote a column about it.
Thursday.
It appeared Thursday. Mm-hmm. And I based it largely on visiting with former Supreme Court Justice Annabelle Tuck, who heads one of the committees that's opposing it, but her focus and the focus of her group is not the limits on what plaintiffs' lawyers can make in terms of contingency fees and not on limits of damages. They're leaving that to other
Both
people
of,
to argue.
Both are two pretty powerful messages, that could duke it out.
Right, and she gets into those. She can't help it, but mainly her side is saying this section that says the legislature by three-fifths vote shall do the rulemaking of the courts. In addition to being a violation of separation of powers doctrine, it changes this principle. Now, the rules of criminal and civil procedure, how we proceed in our lawsuits and under the ground rules that are known to everybody, are set by professional committees working for the Supreme Court, made up of lawyers in all forms of legal practice, and are subjected to public hearing and public review, and then the Supreme Court adopts them or doesn't adopt them. This says the state legislature can inject itself into that process and say, no, we're going to try to vote by 60 out of 100 in the House and 21 out of 35 in the Senate to write the rules ourselves. And if you write the rules, as she says, you're the umpire of the baseball game. And if you're the legislature with fluid power to meet and make rules, then you could set the rules at home plate pregame meeting with the managers, then you could change them in the sixth inning if things weren't going the way you wanted. And conceivably, lobbyists for private interests who don't like outcomes at the court could use their influence, which we have seen at the state legislature, to get rules changed. And then you get into, she's wondering, how is this, are we going to have retroactive application? She said, this is a recipe for abuse and disaster. Now, I say all that to say, to your question, I got tons of reaction to this column. And a lot of it was trial lawyers are saying, way to go, and retweeting it. But there are a lot of conservative people saying, I'm conservative, I'm Republican. I don't want these corrupt, you know what, setting the rules of the court. And when you start hearing that kind of thing, you see a slight change in the political climate, and this abundance of corruption that we've seen, I think will puts issue one more in play. I mean, the nursing homes, the medical industry, corporations, the state chamber, they're going to put millions upon millions into this. Trial lawyers and legal groups are going to put some millions, probably not as much. But I think the issue could come down to legislative corruption. It could be a factor. Your question?
Well, I was just going to say that may lead us to start seeing some messaging on this start sooner rather than later. There's a lot of money.
Well, that's one thing Judge Duck said.
I'm surprised we haven't already started seeing it.
No, we're going to see it soon. Mm-hmm. And I think probably the pro side is looking now at the publicity and the reaction and conversations like this and saying we need to get started. Judge Duck says the issue for the message for those advocating issue one will be jobs and your doctor. Protect your job and protect your doctor. If we limit this liability for our employers and your doctor, then you're protecting two things precious to everybody, their doctor and their job. But now I think probably more than don't limit the damages is don't let the legislature take over the courts. On the damage cap side, just to say this, fundamentalist Christian groups, right to life groups, oppose the idea that you cap the value of a human life at $500,000 unless there is actual economic earnings capacity shown, which caps the life of a child or a senior citizen. And so that complicates this too. And you'll notice the governor has not yet taken a position.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's going to be most interesting.
All of that complexity, all of those political dynamics are why we cover politics, and it makes it fun. Mm-hmm.
We got into the calculus last week of the Supreme Court pick, and this has some of that calculus too. Or it's like a chess game, like if I move here, what happens here? So yeah, that's, you notice I get sort of wound up talking about this because of these competing factors.
Right, it's good stuff.
And it's very, very important.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and his columns, including a once-a-week online-only column, can be found at ArkansasOnline.com. He talked with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. You can find out about more Arkansas-related stories and interviews at TalkBusiness.com.